Welcome to the Trigator Podcast, where budgets are balanced, debt gets destroyed, and alligator expenses get fed before they bite. I am your host, Nate Tanner. The Trigator Podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com and sign up for your free trial of the Trigator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more, worry about money less. Okay, just to talk a little bit of information on what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the Christmas credit hangover today. Now, we're about 1 month after Christmas, so if you did make the mistake of putting all of your Christmas purchases on credit cards, right now is when the piper is probably starting to come to be paid, and you've probably opened up those credit card statements and seen, and now you're starting to feel that that after Christmas hangover of you did your spending, you had a great Christmas, hopefully you're able to have lots of presents and all those wonderful memories that come around Christmas, but now, how are you feeling? How does it feel to open up those credit card statements and see those balances and realize that you've spent money that you didn't have? I think that it really stinks to have to pay for Christmas after Christmas. And not only are you paying for it after the fact, but you're going to start accumulating interest the longer it takes for you to pay those things off. And if you're like a lot of families, if you have put Christmas on a credit card, then you are going to be paying for that all the way up until next year, potentially, because it's not a very easy thing to do to pay off a huge Christmas bill at the end of a single month. So, because if you could, then you probably wouldn't have had to put it on a credit card in the first place. You'd be able to pay cash for that, and you wouldn't have to finance it and put it over time. So, what I really want you to think about a little bit is, if you did put those things on a credit card, how are you feeling when you're opening that bill? Does it feel great? Do you still feel that Christmas joy that you felt from giving all those presents? Because I know you get a lot of joy from giving presents. I love giving presents. I love Christmas time. It's one of my favorite times of the year. And one of the things that really helps me to really enjoy my Christmas is the fact that it's always paid for. And we're going to talk a little bit later in the podcast about how to keep this from happening next year, so that next year you're ready for Christmas and you'll be able to pay for it and not have to put it on those credit cards. Okay. But now, because we're kind of in this mess where we've put it on credit cards and we're in debt and we've got this big balance, we've got to come up with a solution on how are we going to get rid of this as fast as possible. How are we going to clean up this year's mess so that it doesn't happen next year, and so that we don't have to worry about paying huge amounts of interest and we're able to get this monkey off of our back as soon as possible. Now, we've talked a lot about the debt snowball process, and we're going to use that as the method to pay off these credit cards. So, once again, the debt snowball method, to start from the beginning, is you're going to take all of your debts and you're going to place them, you're going to put them out in front of you, and you're going to order them by lowest balance to the highest balance, okay? And we're going to look at how much you're paying on each of those debts, and then we're going to start with that first debt, the one with the lowest balance. What really helps accelerate this process is two things. Number one is having what we call an initial snowball, meaning we're going to throw as much extra money as we have at that debt so that we can start building that snowball from the beginning. And then the second thing is what we call snowflakes. And snowflakes are little amounts of money that you can throw at that debt that are maybe not on a regular basis. It could be things like maybe you sold something and you're able to pay off some of that debt, or maybe you're getting a bonus from work, or you go and do a side hustle job and you're able to throw a little bit extra at that, or perhaps your tax return comes in and you're able to throw some of that tax return at your debt. And that way it helps to accelerate that debt payoff so that you can do things more quickly. So the first thing we want to do is, once we've gotten all of those debts listed out from lowest balance to highest balance, we're going to look at that lowest balance debt and we're going to put together a plan on how we're going to get rid of that the fastest way possible. Hopefully you've been working off of a budget, and if you haven't, you really need to get a budget together so you know how much each month you can throw at that debt, because we don't want to just simply go with the low, with the minimum payment. If we're going with the minimum payment, it is going to take us years to pay off that debt, particularly with credit cards. Credit cards do not amortize in a way that allows you to pay them off quickly. If you look at your credit card statement, it likely has an area on it that says, if you continue making minimum payments, it's going to take you X number of years to pay it off. And if you look at that number, it's going to be probably 15 to 20 years. So we don't want it to take 15 to 20 years to pay off that first debt. We want to get it paid off as quickly as possible because it does have the lowest balance. And if we're talking about that Christmas hangover, you have potentially created a situation where you have a single year event that could take you years to pay off. And that's not what we want to do. We want to be able to get rid of this as fast as possible so we can get this cleaned up and be able to keep more money. Okay, so you've hopefully been running off of your budget. And if you look at your budget, you're hopefully seeing and saying, okay, after all my expenses are paid, how much money do I have left over? And you're going to look at that amount and you're going to say, okay, let's take this and let's say that it's $200. Instead of making that minimum payment of, say, $100 on your credit card, you're going to take that extra $200 that you have and throw it at that lowest balance debt. So now you're making $300 a month payment on that lowest balance debt. If your balance is, let's say, $1,000, you're going to have that thing paid off in just a few months. And it's going to feel a lot better than having to take years and years and years to pay that off, because you're going to attack it and you're going to put money on it and it's going to be gone quick. And that's how we're going to dig ourselves out of this credit card debt from Christmas, is we're going to throw as much as we can at it and get rid of it. And then once that first balance, that lowest balance, is paid off, you're not done. You go to your next debt and you take the minimum payment, which we said was $100, plus that initial snowball, which we said was $200. So you now have $300 that you're going to throw on top of the minimum payment for debt number two. And again, you're going to accelerate your payoff of that because you're throwing all this extra money to get out of debt much, much quicker. And that's how we need to fix this issue, is we need to create a plan so that we can get it paid off in months rather than years. And that's going to save us a lot of money in interest. It's going to save us a lot of headache, and it's going to save us a lot of trouble as we go forward, and we can create, and it's going to save us a lot of headache as we go forward and save us ultimately a lot of money. Okay, so that's how we're going to dig out. We're going to put together a plan, and we're going to debt snowball, and we're going to pay off as fast as we can this Christmas debt that we've put together. Okay, the sooner that Christmas debt is gone, the happier you're going to be. Trust me, debt is one of the worst things on your mind, and it weighs you down so, so much. When it comes to your financial life, the most important thing you can do is get out of debt, and you'll feel that weight being lifted, and it feels so great when you are debt-free and you're able to move forward. Okay, so now we've talked about how to clean up the mess and using that debt snowball to clean it up. Let's now talk about how to keep it from happening next year. And right now is the perfect time to do this, because we're in January. We're a year away from Christmas. We've got plenty of time to create a plan so that we can keep from having to use credit cards next year. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to set what your Christmas budget is going to be right now. We're not going to wait until November and say, okay, this is what our budget is going to be. We're going to set it right now. We're going to say, for Christmas, I am going to spend X amount of dollars. So let's just say, as an example, you want to spend $3,000 at Christmas. Okay, that's going to be your Christmas budget. That's how much you're going to put together for all your presents, for all your decorations, for anything you're going to do. $3,000 is Christmas. Okay, and we're going to not put that on a credit card this year. We're going to pay for it with cash. So between now and next Christmas, we're going to see how many paychecks we're going to receive between now and then. Now, for an example, I'm going to use someone who gets paid every other week. Okay. If you get paid every other week, then you're going to get a total of 26 paychecks every year. Now, we don't have a full year because we're about a month in, so we've actually only got about 23, 22 paychecks between now and Christmas. if we're paid every other week, okay? So you're going to take that $3,000 and you're going to divide it by that 22 paychecks that we have until we need Christmas money. And what that is going to tell us is it's going to tell us that, okay, if I want to spend $3,000 on Christmas, then I need to put aside each of my paychecks, each of these next 22 paychecks, $136.37. And if I set that money aside and I put it into just a separate account, which I don't touch, and I set it there, then by the time Christmas comes at the end of this year, I will have that $3,000 plus a few cents more because of rounding that I'll be able to spend on Christmas. And one of the great things about this is that I won't have to pick up extra shifts to try to pay for it. I won't have to use credit cards. I won't have to worry. When Christmas comes, I will have the money. And that, if you want to talk about what gives you financial peace of mind, it's when you have money for things when you need it. And that's how you create financial peace of mind, is having the money when you need it. And right now, we've just put together a simple plan on how we can have that money when we need it. Now, of course, your numbers may be different. You may want to only spend $2,000 for Christmas or $1,000. The number is completely up to you, but the way you do it is the same. You take the total amount that you want to spend for Christmas that year, and you divide it by the remaining number of paychecks that you have. So again, if you're paid every other week, we're looking at about 22. If you're paid once a month, you've got 11. If you're paid twice a month, for example, you're paid on like the 15th and the 30th, then you have about 20 paychecks. So you want to take and look and say, okay, how many paychecks do I have between now and when I need it? And then divide it out. And we've talked about this before, this idea, and it goes into our alligator funds. We are basically creating an alligator fund for Christmas. And what I do and recommend is setting up a separate account for this money that, again, you don't touch it. It just sits there and you don't touch it until you need to feed the alligator, until you need to pay for Christmas. And once that comes up, then you transfer that money out and you're able to spend it and you have it. And then you have that wonderful Christmas. And then on January 24th, you don't have a bill. You don't have a credit card statement that says you now owe $3,000 for something that you already have gone through. And then you have that weight on your shoulders. And it feels so much, the presents are so much more enjoyable when they're paid for with cash and when you're not having to go into debt to pay for Christmas. So again, put that plan into place so that you can really feel the difference, because I want you to just take a minute and imagine if you did go into a situation where you went into debt, feel how you feel now and look at it and see, you can really feel that weight and it's not fun. Now imagine for a minute that you paid cash and that you didn't owe that money. How does that feel? How would that make you feel? How would that have changed Christmas for you this time around? And just really think about some of those things and draw off that, because you'll, as you feel how that would feel, then it will help you put this plan into place. Let's also think about this. What if you didn't go into debt, but you had to pick up extra shifts, or you had to do some things extra at the last minute to try to save and put together Christmas money? Now think about this. What if you did it, started planning now and put that money away every paycheck like we've talked about, and at the end of the year, you're able to spend that time with your family instead of working extra shifts or instead of having to do things like that? Wouldn't that create much more amazing Christmas and amazing Christmas memories? I'm telling you that when you put this plan into place and you're able to do these things, your Christmas is more joyful. And I would invite you to look into this plan, start it today, implement it, and start saving for Christmas. All right, let's shift over and shift some gears to our questions. Again, if you do have a question that you'd like to submit, you can send it to podcast@tregator.com. You can also go to tregator.com/podcast and submit questions there. Or we'd love for you to come out to our Facebook page and submit questions there, which is facebook.com/tregator. Be sure while you're there to like us and to be part of our conversation, because we'd love to hear from you. All right, with that, let's get to our first question. Is from Carl, and it looks like actually today we have a bit of a theme going with our questions. Lots of questions about mortgages and real estate, so let's hop into it. So Carl says, does homeowners insurance pay off your mortgage if your house is lost? The answer to that question is no. You're not going to have them pay off your mortgage. What they're going to do is they're either going to cut you a check for damages that have taken place, or they'll help you to get those damages repaired. So let's say, for example, you get you have a massive fire in your home and it destroys a lot of your home and makes it unlivable and different things like that. Your homeowner's insurance is going to cut you a check up to the policy maximums to help you make that right as far as things go. But they're not going to pay it through your mortgage. If it's completely lost and they cut you that check, you can then use that to pay your mortgage if you wanted to, but then you're not going to have anywhere to live. And you're going to have just a piece of land that's going to be just nothing. So the idea is that the homeowner's insurance is going to help you to put your house back together so that it's livable and it's a protection of that house asset. But they're not going to pay off your mortgage for you if your house is destroyed. They're just going to cut you a check and you'll be able to, at that point, rebuild your house or do with those funds as you see fit, which hopefully since you need a place to live, you're going to want to rebuild that house and get it back into livable condition. So great question there from Carl. Our next question is from Terry. She says, would it be possible to refinance a home at a lower rate but still pay the same payment amount as the previous, thereby paying off more principal? Yes, absolutely. One of the things that you can do is set up what's called additional principal payments as part of your monthly mortgage payment. And that's all you would need to do is just say, okay, let's say that your mortgage is $2,000, just pulling out a number, and you're paying $2,000 on that mortgage, and you're able to refinance it, and through the refinance, your new mortgage payment is $1,700. You could very easily set up that $300 as an additional principal payment so that every month you're paying an additional $300 on that principal and getting out of that mortgage at a quicker pace. So yes, that is absolutely possible. And one thing that I would recommend you double check, which this is not very common in conventional mortgages anymore, we just want to make sure that there's not what's called a prepayment penalty. And what a prepayment penalty is that if you have one of those on your mortgage, if you pay it off early, then they charge you a fee, is essentially what it is. And again, they're not very common in conventional mortgages now. They used to be many, many years ago, and particularly in the subprime market. But make sure you check your mortgage documents to make sure that there's not that prepayment penalty so that you can fulfill that plan and make it work. So great question, Terry. And our last question comes from Ted. He says, when can a borrower reinstate their defaulted loan and stop a foreclosure? That is a tough question. I'm going to speak a little bit from experience on this one, because when I was first married and early on in my career, I had a job title that was probably one that most people would hate to have. I was what's called a foreclosure specialist. And my job was to make sure that foreclosures were moving forward on borrowers. And it's not a job that I would recommend. It wasn't the most fun job, but it did teach me a lot about the foreclosure process and about how things work. And really, it's going to be up to your mortgage servicer and that the company that holds that mortgage on when you can reinstate. And what I found is that most of the time, these mortgage servicing companies and the person that's holding that note, they don't want to foreclose. They are going to lose more money in a foreclosure than if they can get you to start reperforming on that. So the biggest key to stopping a foreclosure is talking with your lender and talking with that mortgage servicer. And the sooner you can do it, the better. Because if you are far, far behind, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to catch back up. Because the first thing that they're going to offer you is going to be what's called a forbearance agreement. And what that forbearance agreement will be is it will say, okay, over the next 3 years, we're going to have you pay extra on your mortgage to help you catch up. And it's going to essentially say that, make it so that they're going to say, we're not going to foreclose on you, but you need to pay us extra. And in a 3 year period, you'll then be caught back up and be able to make normal mortgage payments again. Okay. So, and in order for it to be truly reinstated, you need to catch it all up. You need to get back to current on your mortgage payments. And that's what the forbearance helps you do, is it helps you to get current on your mortgage. And it's very difficult, because if you are defaulting and you're in a state where you are under threat of foreclosure, chances are your financial situation is going to be very difficult, and it's going to be difficult to pay extra on that mortgage. But you're going to need to find a way to do it, because you do not want to get foreclosed on. It is awful. And I have a lot of sad, sad stories from when I was a foreclosure specialist, from people losing their homes over different reasons. And you've just, Ted, if you're in that situation, do whatever you can to find a way. What I would strongly recommend, and we're going to talk about this probably this week on a later podcast, is find yourself a nice side hustle. Something like driving Uber or DoorDash or any of those sort of things, or going and getting a job as a burger cook or something, doing something extra on the side so that you can catch up and get out of that default loan status. But the first thing, again, is call your mortgage company and talk to them, because they will work with you most of the time. And just make sure you stay on it, and that when you reach a forbearance agreement with them, that you follow through with that forbearance so that you're not stuck in that situation again. So great question, Ted. I hope that gives you some information. Again, if you do want to submit a question to us, you can send it to us at podcast@tregator.com via email, or you can send it through our website, tregator.com/podcast. Or again, through Facebook, facebook.com/Tregator. We'd love for you to be part of the conversation, and we love answering your questions. Well, that is it for this episode of the Tregator Talk podcast. I do want to thank you for listening to this episode. Make sure that you do subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the podcast. And do visit our sponsor again. Our sponsor is Tregator, and we invite you to go to Tregator.com and sign up for the free trial of the Tregator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Tregator, you can enjoy life more, worry about money less. Have a great rest of your day, and we hope to see you again tomorrow.